What would be the consequence if Jesus had never come back from the dead? Do you know that the Apostle Paul answers that question pretty clearly? And that's what we're going to talk about today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. I'm really excited that you've decided to join us today. We're continuing in our series leading up to Easter, an incredibly exciting time of year. If you want to learn more about our ministry, I'd encourage you to go to faithalone.org. More about that at the end of the program. But for now, let's jump right into our discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. This is Bob Wilkin.
Well, thank you for joining in with us as we continue this Easter series. And today we want to go over this very pivotal passage in Scripture that's all about the resurrection. This is Paul's presentation of the resurrection, how important it is to the Christian life, and that is found in 1 Corinthians 15.
Right. Now, in the last show, we did look at some verses earlier in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 through 11, because we were looking at the post-resurrection appearances. But in the section we'll be looking at today, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 16 through 19, and also the very last verse, verse 58, we'll be looking at the fact that if the resurrection were not true, then Christians of all people should be most pitiable, the people we pity the most. But since the resurrection is true, then pity all those who are not Christians.
Right. So that's 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 16. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen.
Right.
Meaning, you know, if it's true that this never happens, then obviously it didn't happen to Jesus either.
It couldn't happen to anybody if it never happens.
Right. Verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins.
Yeah, now we'll go over both of those, but notice he's making two points here. If Christ is not risen, number one, your faith is futile. Number two, you're still in your sins.
Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished.
Okay, that's a third thing. So if Christ is not risen, all those who,
have fallen asleep
or died as believers in Christ, they have perished.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable.
There's a fourth thing.
All right, let's talk about this. Maybe we can go in reverse here. Why Christians, why would we be the most pitiable people on earth if the resurrection is a hoax?
We'd be the most pitiable people on earth because then our entire life is based on a lie.
Right.
In other words, there is no eternal reward. There is no blessing from God in this life. There's no blessing from God coming in the next life. In fact, there is no next life. And so we're basically squandering this life on a fantasy.
That's what makes Christianity different from many, many, many other religions and even philosophies in the world. We're saying our faith is rooted in history. It's based on a fact in history. It's not just an ideal. It's not just like a philosophy. It's not just a nice idea to believe in. We're reacting to something that actually happened, to proof, to evidence, to a fact, the risen Christ, risen from the dead.
Right. And probably the leading author in the New Testament, although Paul didn't write half of the volume of the New Testament, the one who wrote the most was Luke in Luke Acts, but the one who wrote the most letters was Paul with 13 or 14 if he wrote Hebrews. This one actually entertains the fact that what if it didn't happen? And by the way, the reason he's doing this is because there were some in the church of Corinth who had become convinced, evidently by unbelievers or false teachers, that there is no resurrection, and they were starting to teach this. And so Paul defends the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15.
And this would make sense to the Greeks, I think, because at this time even, the Greeks had started to doubt the existence of their traditional gods, Zeus and Athena and Hera and all these gods and goddesses and monsters. And they were beginning to realize, no, if we climbed Mount Olympus, it's just rock up there. You know, there are no gods up there. And so people started to disbelieve the gods because what's the point in believing in make-believe?
Right.
Right? You need to outgrow that. I think Paul is agreeing with that principle. If this is make-believe, then yeah, we are. I read a story about a grown man who thought the webbing in his basement were heat webs. That's what his mom told him.
Heat webs?
Heat webs. He was scared to go in the basement because of this webbing, and his mom said, oh, that's nothing. That's just heat webs. Then later on in life, he discovered, oh, wait a second, these are spider webs. My whole life is a lie. My mom was lying to me this whole time. So when we meet a person who has like this crazy belief like that, we pity them. And we don't want to be like that. We believe in Jesus because this actually happened. And if it didn't happen, then yeah, I wouldn't want to believe it.
You're right. Paul is saying, look, Christianity isn't just some philosophy that's good for you, whether it's true or not. It is fact. It is based on history. And if it is not true, well, then eat and drink for tomorrow we die, because there is no real significance in life, so it doesn't really matter. But that's not true. And the very fact that Paul will entertain this question shows that Christianity is open to inspection.
Right, absolutely. He's saying, if you're right, the dead do not rise, we would be pitiable. But I know that the dead do rise because he actually met the risen Christ.
Right.
So he's like, I'm sorry, I have evidence for that. I have 500 witnesses who can back me up.
Right.
Many of whom are still alive. That's A. And now B is the second reason why Christians are the most pitiable people on earth, if the resurrection is a hoax, is because we would still be in our sins. That's verse 17.
And that could mean one of two things. First of all, it could mean we're still separated from God because Jesus' death didn't accomplish anything. It can't take away the sins of the world, John 1:29, if he didn't rise from the dead. Or the second thing it could mean, because notice, how does he say that we are still in our sins?
Mm-hmm.
The we would refer to believers. I think the second thing it could mean is that we're still slaves of sin.
Mm.
You remember Jesus said in John 8:24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I think dying in your sins refers to a person who goes to the grave his entire life or her entire life as a slave of sin. And so I think what Paul is saying here is, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we're still slaves of sin. We've not been set free. Remember Jesus said, you'll know the truth,
right,
and the truth will set you free? That'd
right.
be a lie.
That's an interesting argument to make to the Corinthians, because it sure seemed like the Corinthians were still slaves to sin in their experience. All right, the third reason comes to us from verse 18. The third reason why Christians are the most pitiable people on earth if the resurrection is a hoax is because then our departed loved ones, who are believers, wouldn't be with the Lord. Instead, they would have ceased to exist.
Right. When you look at verse 18, then also those who have fallen asleep, those would be believers who have died in Christ, have perished. Well, the word perished, as we know in John 3:16, can refer to eternal condemnation. But the vast majority of the time, the word refers to death or destruction. Well, here, since it's talking about those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, it's not saying they've died. That would be a tautology. I mean, obviously, if they've died, they've died.
Right.
But it's saying they have ceased to exist.
Do you think so? Or do you think it means that they're now in Hades or whatever the afterlife is?
No, I think this would be saying if there's no resurrection from the dead, then these people don't exist anymore.
Okay.
Just like he says, if there's no resurrection for the dead, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, there's nothing beyond the grave. Yeah, you could argue that it is talking about Sheol or Hades and saying they're being eternally condemned because there's no Savior,
mm-hmm.
and that the idea there would be is kind of a disembodied eternity.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, Paul knew that's not the case, and the Scriptures teach clearly that all will be raised from the dead. Unbelievers before the great white throne judgment, believers from the church age before the rapture. That's when it will occur, at the time of the rapture. So, yeah, I think what he's saying is, look, if there's no resurrection from the dead, if Jesus didn't rise, then there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then our departed loved ones have ceased. They've been destroyed.
Okay. All right, now the fourth reason why Christians are the most pitiable, it comes down to us later in the chapter in verse 58. Let me read
right.
that for us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it's not in vain because the Lord has risen from the dead. But if he hadn't risen from the dead, then everything we would have done would have been in vain.
Right. I mean, if you stop and think about it, Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't lay up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and thieves break in and steal, right? But lay up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust can't destroy, and thieves can't break in or steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That would be a lie if there's no resurrection from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if we don't rise from the dead, he's not going to be giving out any treasure. Paul said, if we endure, we shall also reign with him in the life to come. That wouldn't be true if there is no resurrection from the dead, because the scriptures are clear that Jesus' kingdom is a physical kingdom in people with physical bodies. Jesus himself rose from the dead, and we will have a glorified body like he has a glorified body. And so notice the point here. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your work, your efforts are not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. To be in vain, and Paul uses this expression a lot in his epistles, like, for example, in Galatians, he fears that he's labored in vain among the Galatians because they're being deceived by false teachers. The point would be that your labor would not be effective. Your labor would be ineffective. It would be worthless. Mm-hmm. It would be vain. It would be empty.
Sure.
And the point is, that's not true. Right. Our labor is fruitful. Because right. We're in Christ, and he promises that when he returns, he will reward us according to our works.
So to sum up, we can almost take each of those 4 points and just reverse them and show why Christians aren't futile. We aren't the most pitiable people. We're people to be, I don't know what the word would be.
Admired.
Admired, yeah. Desired, yeah. Why we're blessed.
Yeah.
And we're blessed because our faith is true. The resurrection proves that. The second thing is the resurrection shows that we can be freed from slavery to sin.
Yes.
The third thing is that we know that our loved ones are not in some, if you died in the Lord, you're with the Lord.
That's
so
right.
So death is different for us. It also means that our labor, as you were just saying, is not in vain. Everything that we do has eternal significance.
Yes.
And the resurrection does all of those things for us. And so I would encourage you, read over 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Consider Paul's argument. Consider the truth of the Christian faith. And come to terms with the difference, the amazing difference that the resurrection makes in your life, because it's true. It actually happened.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bob and Sean, for that great discussion about the resurrection. What an encouragement that is. Well, you may be interested in going deeper on subjects like this or others you've heard on the program. If that's the case, like I said at the beginning, you ought to go to faithalone.org. That's our website. We've got all kinds of resources there ready for you to take advantage of, most of which are free of charge. They'll cost you absolutely nothing. For instance, you can get a subscription to our print magazine absolutely free. We've also got teaching videos, podcasts, and blog posts ready for you to look at right now. You might be interested in our upcoming national conference. You can find information about that right there on the website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you'd be interested in giving a tax-deductible donation to the ministry to help us continue the work that we're doing. Our site is secure, and you can do that right there on faithalone.org. Well, if you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from listeners. I'm going to give you our email. It's easy to remember. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Well, tomorrow's Friday. We have a great show lined up for you, so don't miss it. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for listening, and let's keep grace in focus.